Hello and welcome to the Big Sky Podcast. I'm Paul.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Paul.
I continue to be Cheryl.
Just checking, making sure we're all here. Everyone's accounted for.
All of me is here.
All six of us are here. Half a dozen Pauls, half a dozen Cheryls. That would be 12 of us. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could actually clone ourselves and interact with each other? Have you ever thought about this?
Never.
I think about it like all the time, like probably three times a week. Like, wow, if I could make a temporary or even a permanent copy of myself that had full, like, complement of will and creativity and mind, I'd be like, dude, what do you think about splitting the chores around here? And he'd be like, I think that's a great idea because I was just you a second ago and now I'm tripping out on the idea that there's two of us here. And I'd be like, exactly. Two of us means half the work. You're going to work Monday through Wednesday, I'm going to work Thursday through Friday, and all we have to do is come up with twice the food and some rough explanation to our wife as to what the hell's going on. And we're good to go.
Oh, dear.
I think it would be genius.
So I want to tell you about something that happened today.
Have we fully explored this other subject yet, though?
I think we have.
I was going to talk about who gets to wear the favorite pullover shirt, because that'd be a problem. We'd have to, like, double the wardrobe for the second one of me.
I see.
Because he'd be perfectly identical in every way to up till that moment. And then slowly over time, our choice patterns would diverge. You give me this look like no one's going to want to listen to this.
That is exactly what I'm thinking.
No one's going to want to listen to it?
Maybe one person. Maybe both of you would like to listen to this.
Twice the listening audience. Two people. We've doubled our listenership. All right, feel free to move on to the next subject.
Thank you so much. So, I had a very interesting experience today.
What was that?
I met a woman named Evolution.
Evil? Like E-V-O-L?
No, E-V-I-L. Shades of the personal ad that you wrote.
Evil? E-V-I-L?
Love is evil backwards, except evil.
Okay.
So she, her name is Evolution.
So her official name has the word evil in it.
It's Evolution. And she is, in fact, a roller derby star.
We could, like,
she
Google
lives
her.
In Moab. They just had this gigantic competition. She said, do you have any idea how much fun it is to be 2 days from being 40 and to have people cheer you and shout your name and want your autograph? She said it's so much fun. For women who are like 30, 40, 50, to get engaged in something that's, you know, physically fit. She said there were over 500 people who attended this event.
500 people?
Seriously. There were 30 referees on skates.
Oh, my God.
There were over, I think, 200 participants. I mean,
200 participants?
I think so.
That's a huge number.
Anyway, I said, this is so much fun to get to talk to you because I love the movie Whip It.
Mm-hmm.
The Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
But I love, what's her name? The Juno star from Juno?
Juno Girl. That's her name.
I love that movie. And so how fun it is that there's this resurgence of roller derby and that it's just a fun thing for women to participate on a team.
Yeah.
In a cooperative way, in a festive way. So I said, what do you wear? She said, well, you know, fishnets, sparkly pants. You know, she said, you've got a helmet on, so, you know, you can't do much with your hair. She said she does war paint. Some of her friends do full-on regalia. And I said, do you do knee pads and elbow pads and mouth guards? She said, yes, that's really important. I said, I so want to come. So she said that they're going to do some practice things in Durango. And I thought, I'm in. I totally want to go. I just think it is so fun.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a real equality of the sexes thing because, you know, sports, that is exactly people cheering your name and,
yes,
you know, that whole thing. So it's like getting in a piece of the action there.
I told her the only thing I had that could compare to it was the adult dance troupe that I was a part of,
mm-hmm,
you know, late 30s, early 40s, how much fun that was just to put on dances out, you know, in a parking lot or in nature. People weren't shouting your name, but it was definitely the sense of working together as a team, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But maybe not as much fun. as roller derby.
Oh, that's, roller derby sounds incredibly fun. Like, yeah, it's so counterculture. It's,
well, they do co-ed roller derby. Are you good with, you're pretty good with skates.
Yeah, but I'm not, I'm getting too old to push people around and slam into barriers at high speeds and stuff.
Well, guess what she does for a living? This is even more fun. What would be the most atypical, I mean, picture a roller
elementary school teacher.
Close.
High school teacher.
More.
College teacher.
Uh-huh. What subject?
Social studies. What, American Lit.
Mike Ferrari. What did he teach?
Biology?
Exactly.
She's a biology teacher.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to have a serious hobby that absolutely challenges their self-identity on the side.
Well, she loves it. She said, so she lives in Moab.
Yeah.
And she said on a typical gloomy night,
yeah,
rather than sitting there and on the sofa watching TV, she gets up because her teammates are waiting for her.
That's amazing. See, exactly. It gets you out. It gets you engaged with,
yeah,
other people. It's,
isn't
social.
That fun?
That's so much fun.
It's so much fun. She's a mother of two. Anyway.
I think that's like so important. It feels to me like, you know, like doing these dances, mm-hmm, doing Big Sky. I mean, people around here are quite conservative, and in a lot of circles are very conservative. And so I feel myself bumping into all these different points of view. Like, oh my God, you do crazy dances, like with crazy music. And it's neat because I think everybody's secretly crazy. And it's just this social norm that we don't let our crazy out more.
Hey, you know, we're going to meet that woman from Flagstaff tomorrow night who did ecstatic dance there. Judy said she's going to bring her along.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Her name's Robbie. That's going to be fun to meet her.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's neat. I mean,
compare,
yeah,
compare notes, that'll be neat.
Mm-hmm. It will be neat. There's actually a huge number of stuff going on. There's this other guy called Rob Robot. He's like a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he looks pretty interesting. Like, his sets sound kind of cool. He starts at 10. So right after we're done, he starts.
At our place?
No, at the Summit, which is a bar.
I see.
On Main, but just like down the street. So, and next week, Cody and DJ Pan, they're doing a thing on Friday night. They're doing a big dance on Friday for the snow dance. You know the snow parade? That's a whole snow days thing.
Okay, so I know a little bit about this. I've seen people walk down the streets with costumes on.
Snow related?
Not so much.
Just costumes, like a Mardi Gras for snow?
Like, kind of crazy. I mean, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention.
Yeah.
But just kind of outlandish, crazy stuff.
Yes.
I think it's, you know what I think it is? When you're going a bit bonkers.
Oh, inside.
Because of the snow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cabin fever-esque.
Let out steam, be
is
crazy,
my sense.
Be,
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Cody, on his official flyer for the snow dance, was pointing out that it's in bulk, which is somehow, I think that's halfway between the equinoxes or something.
Oh, I've heard of that. IMBOLC?
Yeah, it's some old pagan holiday. It's like, right, on Friday or whatever.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I bet people are going to wonder, how is it that we're doing simultaneously a radio show and a dance?
I was thinking the same thing.
Is this because there are going to be two of you and
exactly,
this is the experiment that's, mm-hmm, going to like prove it?
Exactly. If you are at the dance at 8 o'clock at Yoga Durango in Durango, Colorado, in
on
the United
Florida.
States of America,
mm-hmm,
on planet Earth, in the Sol system, third planet from the sun.
Yes, yes, yes.
If that's where you show up, you can also tune your radio transceiver to 950,000 megahertz, also known as 90.5,
mm-hmm,
FM.
That was so impressive.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No one realizes that it's megahertz, which means millions of cycles per second, like that we actually measure radio frequencies on
all
stations.
Right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
You know, usually you have a higher tolerance for me geeking out.
I know, but me having a tolerance and our delightful listeners,
yeah,
by the way, Cheyenne.
Yeah.
I want to call out Cheyenne. She wrote, uh-huh, and said, sounds like I'm listening to a dinner at you guys' house.
Exactly.
And I said, awesome. Next time you come, you will be on with us.
It's like the Benedict Salon. It's like
she has a radio show.
That's great. We should
know that.
We should. I wonder if she'd be broadcasted online and we could promote it or tune into it or something.
We'll have to ask her. That'd be,
yeah,
super fun.
See if they do an online streaming of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that'd be super fun.
Because we could actually say something about it. So anyway, yeah, if someone's at the dance, they could also turn on their radio, which is what the transceivers are commonly called on this planet, and they could turn it to 90...
You're in rare form tonight. He's not always like this, folks.
Most of the time he's like this.
Most of the time he's like this.
Yeah, just... Yeah, most of the time. Anyway, yeah, you could see me in person, and you could hear my voice over the radio. Because I did actually perform that cloning experiment, and there are two of me running around. And if he gets out of the bag, you have to tell me, because I need to put him back in.
And if there are two of you in bed with me, something's got to give.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
I'm not sharing.
Hence the bag. He can't get out of the bag.
I see.
Because I was smarter and put him in the bag first.
You're so strange.
We'll see who's going to be the dominant partner in this relationship. You're going to be taking orders from me, buddy.
Oh, brother. So, have we told people that we are in love with this brand new baby kitty named Thor?
Tell them all about the Thor.
Oh, my God. We've got pictures of him. He's 6 weeks old. Well, actually, he's 8 weeks old now, but
yep.
We went to Aurora to see him, and
yep.
I swear, I mean, I would be hard-pressed to find a kitten that was more adorable.
He is truly adorable.
I mean, I am smitten.
The whole kitty, the extra kitty thing was definitely like just a what do you call it? It wasn't fantasy. It was when something's theoretical.
I see.
It was a purely theoretical concept to me. You open up the House of Rock Ragdolls page.
Easy for you to say.
I'm a little fried tonight too. You open it up like 3 or 4 times a day to like look for new pictures.
That is a gross
misrepresentation. So it's like 9 or 10 times a day.
Precisely.
It's.
I mean, I was just going to say that is such an underestimate. The reality is maybe as many as 20.
So this one website is like your personal Facebook, and you're just looking for one photo to appear of this one little kitty
right.
Who is coming home with us on February
27th.
Yeah, so, but when we saw him in person, he really was a cutie.
Yes.
Like, when we actually got to see him, it was like, not only was he adorable, he was just, like, so proportionate, you know? He just had these nice little pointy ears, and they were colored, and he was absolutely fluff and stuff adorable.
I think I kissed his nose, I think I kissed his little heart, his little tummy. I mean, he is precious.
He took to you, and his mom was really loving you up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a new kitty coming. So the three kitties in our house will be Isis, Gaia, and Thor.
I love the name Thor.
Thor's from, yeah, that's a good one.
Mostly because it sounds like a speech impediment.
Norse mythology. Well, it's Thursday. He has a day named after him.
Well, and we met Odin this weekend.
Yeah, Odin was the new little baby. And
yeah.
Anyway, he was a cutie. Cutie little super new baby. What, a month old?
1 month old, I think, yeah.
Man, they can't really pull their weight at that age. He was pretty much 100% dependent on his parents for 100% of everything. But his voice was cute. I guess that was his contribution, is he's cute.
Yeah. And clearly loved by his parents.
So what else did you want to talk about?
You know, I've kind of led. It's your turn. If you've got some cogent topic.
Yeah. I've been thinking about a lot of things. Do you remember that crazy meteor we saw the other week when we were driving home from Durango?
Yes, yes.
We're driving home, and we're about 20 minutes from home, and I thought it was an airplane flying really low because mm-hmm. It was so bright. But then I saw the fire and, like, the molten lava coming out of it, and it was like, I was like, holy smokes. And it flew right over our car. Like, I don't know how high up it actually was. But you could literally see chunks of meteor, like, falling off and melting. And it was, like, breaking up. I mean, I wasn't sure what... I thought it was a plane for a little bit. I was like, what the heck? Like, a couple days later, I found an article on it. This is from...
You're kidding.
No, this is from...
You're kidding.
Not that exact one. But this is the February 2013 Astronomy. They're called fireballs. Look at this picture.
That's about what it looked like.
Exactly. There, a lot of times when you see a shooting star, just a little, whoosh, it's a piece of material the size of a grain of sand, but it's going like so super fast that that it burns up, and because of the speed, it spreads out that heat over a long distance.
That's interesting.
But sometimes there's much, much bigger things that hit the atmosphere. And apparently, there's about there's 5 to 10 meteors per hour, just naturally. Just any old hour, you're looking up at this night sky, 5 to 10 meteors an hour. When there's a meteor shower, that means the Earth is going through a bunch of cloud of debris, and then you get meteor showers like... The Alpha Centaurids are actually this month, but it's in the southern sky. So it's like, it's at night, it's on, you know, Australia could see it, we can't see it. And then there's, you know, the Perseids, or whatever they're called, the Orionids. I'll have my Google sky map.
Are you making this up?
No.
Perseids.
No, the Orionids come from the Orionids in the sky appear to originate from the constellation Orion. So when you look at Orion, they look like they're shooting out of it. Isn't that wild, though? That, like, there's a cloud of debris in the Earth's orbit. Stick with me.
No, sorry, I was going to sneeze. I'm trying not to sneeze.
No, just go ahead and sneeze. It's okay. Mm. The Earth has an orbit, right? And every year at the same time, it passes through the same place it was roughly last year. And at one point, all this stuff in our universe, our solar system, condensed into planets. But some of it didn't condense into planets, right? That's where you get comets. That's where you get, like, that's where you get meteors and all this stuff.
I have somebody that I need to introduce you to.
Who do you mean?
He's going to be 7 years old in, like, 2 weeks.
Ah, you're saying someone who's
talking about almost the exact same things you were talking about. And I said, you have got to meet Paul.
So we found my mental equal.
Yes.
A 7-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant. Bring him on.
He had a little telescope. I said, uh-huh, just you wait. Paul has one that's amazing.
I challenge him to a duel.
All of these books on planets and stars, and he said, I think I am a star. I said, okay. I know exactly who you need to meet. And then he made up this little song about the moon and how important the moon was, but even more important, the stars and the sun.
Whose kid is this?
Scott and Sue's.
Oh my God, that's
Darwin.
So,
his name is Darwin.
That's so crazy cool.
He was adorable.
That's so awesome.
And I just thought you guys would have so much fun if you hung out.
He talks
about the same thing. I mean, he's got the coolest books.
Yeah.
The coolest props. He has this one book about coyote, and coyote shoots arrows up into the sky to create images of his friends in the sky. So he's got owl. He's got.
Whoa.
I know. It was
that's
really
intense.
Fun.
That's said, really cool.
And then
really
he
cool.
said, you know, was talking about how important owls were to him. I said, I swear. Same with Paul.
Wait, why do you think I'm into owls?
I don't know.
Because I have that one owl? You know, you're like the fifth person to think I have an owl thing because I bought that.
Like an owl fetish.
Like an owl fetish or even an owl interest because I bought that one owl.
You bought more than one owl.
What was the second owl?
I don't know, but I remembered thinking, aha, there's a second owl.
I keep a pretty tight inventory of my life, and the only owl images appear as the owl pumpkin, which you've already noted.
Yes.
And I have the owl stickers on our sticker board.
And you used to have an owl ornament that was on your wall.
I had an owl ornament on my wall?
You did, at 3741 Walnut. You
owl
did.
Owl ornament.
Something, something. You did. Made out of some interesting fibers or out of...
crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember that
I
at all.
I remember it.
Yeah. I like owls.
Yeah.
Do you know, one time when I was a kid, I was like 5 years old, I would play this game where the bus would come and pick us up from our farm. So it was hilarious. It was me and my brother. You know, we'd get on this bus, or maybe it was just me. The bus would pull up and honk in front of our house, and I would hide under the stereo in my living room, thinking that if the bus did not see me, I would not have to go to school. And more often than not, it worked. Because the bus would pull away, and my parents would be like, yeah, you don't have to go to school today. Because not only were they, like, basically kind of hippie-oriented, but also I had been at home as a little crazy person, you know, for my whole life. And this whole school thing was quite the deal to adjust to. But I digress. One morning, I'm looking out, peeking out, waiting for the school bus, and I'm hiding. And this white owl with a wingspan, I kid you not, of like, it seemed to me like 7 feet as a kid. In my mind, it's huge. This huge owl flies like over our barn or farm yard towards me. And it was like, it was amazing. Like, yeah. I remember feeling like intimidated, but like excited and like seen by this giant owl. And like, it was this living piece of nature that was like unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was Harry Potter's owl's name?
Hawthorne. Hooter.
I was going to say Hoggart, but that's not it.
Hugglewash or something.
I want to tell you, so guess what Darwin was wearing when I met him?
What?
Oh my God. He had on red, like high tops.
Yes.
With rainbow socks.
Red high tops with rainbow socks?
Seriously, with his trousers tucked in, with suspenders and a top hat.
No way.
Way, way.
This kid is like a magician.
I mean, he looked like a cross between Charlie Chaplin and
Charlie Wonka. Charlie Wonka in the Wonka Factory.
It was fabulous.
Wait, what was it? Willy Wonka.
Willy. He was complaining that his feet hurt, and I said, you know, the price of high fashion. Many people suffer. Of course, went over his head, but Sue enjoyed it. It was funny because it just was like, wow, you look resplendent.
Rainbows are the best color ever invented.
He would probably agree with you.
Why choose one color when you can have all the colors? Literally, a true rainbow is all the visual spectrum of light in one package. Why would that not be the best color?
Indeed.
Well, how cool is that?
I know. So, I just really think you'd like him immensely.
Well, mostly any kid that's into almost anything I can like, but especially one into...
But he was so fun.
Yeah.
He was so fun. I mean, I was having more fun talking to him.
That's awesome.
I know. I just think you'd like him immensely.
Well, I've been wanting to meet him because his name's Darwin, and that's like totally interesting.
Yes.
Does he know where his name comes from?
Oh, of course.
He knows.
There are images of Darwin all over their
home. Oh, Charles Darwin?
Of course.
Wow. Does he know that Charles Darwin's theory of evolution was just one small piece of his greater, you know, work? That mostly he wrote about love and about the cooperation between species?
Charles Darwin wrote about love?
Yeah, he was a big Christian, and like, he really was trying to reconcile the whole way that God fit into evolution in a lot of what he wrote. Maybe not everybody would interpret it this way, but it was, yeah, there was a huge, most of what he wrote about was about cooperation and about... And natural selection was in this... when people pull it out and say, natural selection is like the proof that there's no God or something like that, it's really taking a piece of his work and extracting it and not taking the other stuff with it, because that's not how he couched it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I hope I'm getting that exactly wrong so that people write me and tell me, you are a fool. You're a fool, Pa. You know nothing.
So do you have lots of things on your list? Because we made a commitment to keep this podcast to 20 minutes instead of 50.
You know, I may invoke the second podcast clause upon you.
I've never heard of the second podcast clause.
I've never had reason to reveal the second podcast clause to you until this very moment.
That's hard to say.
Not only is it hard to say, it's hard to put into a conceptual framework that's communicated in language because it's such an intensely clear and powerful concept.
I'd like to hear you say it with your mouth guard in.
That would be very tricky. But what might happen is I might invoke the second podcast clause and therefore end this podcast and start a whole nother podcast in order to have a second podcast, which would be like the fourth podcast because this is the third podcast.
Do you have really pithy and important things to say?
I have so many important things to tell you about.
Well, then I think we should end this podcast.
Second podcast clause invoked.